we just made up this story about how the band got together and how we got our band name. And
what did you tell them?
We used to have this band name, Canuba. And we're playing in Germany, and this apparently German guy comes up and says, "Hey guys, you know, that's my name. That's my surname, my last name. And you can't have that name. But I'm going to offer you some money and a good alternative. So how about the radio department? Is that all right with you guys?" And we said, "Sure. All right." So we're the radio department.
Yeah, and we told them that we got a shitload of money from this guy. And yeah, it was, I don't know, even know if it was a if it was a fun story or not, but we were so tired of telling the same old story, so we had to.
I think you guys would have had much greater success if you named your band Canuba.
What does it mean, though?
That means absolutely nothing. So I'll just add to some, you know, because there really are two parts to this band, right? There's the 1995, where you started something,
yes.
And then you had these breakups and all of that sort of stuff, and then officially, this is now a decade-old band, right?
Yeah.
So the real name. I'll read what everybody should already know, which is that it was a gas station turned to radio repair shop. But what I'm more interested in is, we're talking 10 years ago, were people still getting radios repaired back then?
I think that place closed. Yeah, as you said, I was in a band back in 95 when I was 15, 16, called the radio department. But when Martin and I started playing together, we just took that band name because we couldn't come up with anything new, and that band wasn't going anymore, so that's why. But I don't know if that place was still around, really. It was when we started the band, me and Elin, who actually painted the cover on the first album, Lesser Matters, and she did the lead vocals on Strange Things Will Happen, which is a song on that album as well. She and I started a band called the Radio Department. We were at this concert in Lund, where we come from, which is a small university city in the south of Sweden. And there was some concerts going. I don't know if you know about the Swedish indie scene during the 90s, but a lot of those bands were playing. And we took a walk during one of the concerts with a band called Brainpool. Which
you should have taken that name right there.
And
yeah, you missed out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we ended up outside of this radio shop, and yeah, that's when the band name, that's where the band name came from.
I would say 75% of your American audience, for better or for worse, heard of you through the soundtrack of Marie Antoinette. And one of the things that I read is that one of the quotes, and I'm not, again, everybody's friends, is that you said that the one thing you wanted to be very careful about when you considered being in this, you know, in this soundtrack, is you didn't want to be Phoenix.
I mean, we really like her stuff, so her films, but so we were really flattered when we were asked. But yeah, we didn't say yes directly. We were kind of concerned by the fact that we were a small band, we were kind of scared that we would be forever associated with, or, you know, that we would be this Coppola band forever. So yeah, that was kind of, but then they asked for a song at first, and then we talked about it and decided that, or we said to them that, you can get two songs if you tell us what Bill Murray is whispering to Scarlett Johansson at the end of Lost in Translation. And they said, "Well, for three songs, we'll tell you." And yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But no, we promised.
Yeah. You know, although of course Scarlett Johansson whispering in anything in anybody's ear is a relevant fact. The whole thing with labels,
yes.
Right? And the whole thing with your definitive notion that you were going to do it your way. And one of the things that I read recently, though, is that even your current label, you had some ups and downs with, right? So you know, is it the lesser of evils that you had a smaller label to battle for your money than having to battle a bigger label for your money?
They all seem to be capitalists anyway, so, and we learned that the hard way. I mean, we're friends with Labrador now, and but we had to really fight them to get the contract a little bit better, because what we signed originally was a contract saying that even though we made the records ourselves and paid for the recordings and everything, as soon as we were done, although we hadn't got a dime from them or anything, they owned it.
They owned your masters.
They owned our masters, although we paid for them. Yeah, I know. And they could sell it to anyone they liked and keep the money for themselves, which is a really bad deal. So we fought them for about 3 years before they decided to we could, you know, renegotiate the contracts and make them slightly better. So now, yeah. So now they own the stuff for 10 years, and then we get it back.
The whole genre thing. Everybody's working. People work so hard, particularly with indie bands and bands like yours.
It's horrible. We always say that we're a pop group. I mean, I see pop as an art form. I mean, even if we weren't popular, just in the beginning when we put out our own, you know, vinyls, 7 inches and stuff. We consider ourselves a pop group. Yeah, I don't know. Dream pop, shoegaze, new gaze, whatever we've been called, chill wave. I remember one, there was this journalist at NME in the UK who came up with a new genre to kind of describe us, and he called it, what was it again? Yeah, fridge rock.
Fridge rock.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. To describe Ewan, because Ewan is a song from our first album, and it was single of the week in NME back in 2004 or 5, I can't remember. But yeah, he called it fridge rock. I kind of like that. Well, for that song at least.
I love your whole concept of the fact that there is no way in God's green earth that you will ever have a producer in your midst, that you will ever have a record company tell you what your album covers are going to look like. Now, there are a handful of bands that can get away with that, but you're not doing it because you want to be pompous or because you want to be a smart, you know, you're doing it because your real belief is that you know your sound better than other people do, and you know what you want to look like better than other people do, right?
That's the idea, and we like doing it too much to give it away to someone else. I mean, I'd love to produce records for other bands as well. I really like not spending hours and hours in the studio, because we want to, you know, we want to get things done fast. But I like I really like making records, and I don't see really why we should involve someone else. We would only end up fighting. We fight a lot when we record music, as it is. If we were to bring someone else in, it would end up with fist fights, I guess.
But the other thing is that you record at home. So, you know, is it also your feeling that having a, you know, a powerful engineer behind the control board is going to be the equivalent of a producer, that they're not going to really listen the way you want, that they'll turn to you and say, I know you want this EQ'd this way, but you know, I'm an engineer.
You should never trust people that know stuff, you know, people can't see this, what I'm doing with my fingers, but...
The quote marks.
Yeah, exactly, yes. The quote marks. But I think you end up with a much more interesting result if you make it your own responsibility to get what you want. Even though you don't know anything, you still know what sounds good. And just play around with the buttons and the guitar sounds, and you'll end up with something that you like eventually.
Maybe something original.
Exactly.
Concept.
Exactly. And so, yeah. Well, I've made this comparison before, but I think, in a way, in many ways, a producer is just like a stylist with, I mean, when it comes to clothes and stuff. If you don't know how to dress yourself, I mean, it people should know about it, I think. Bands should tell their own story. I sometimes like when bands really post as something else as well. But I mean, especially for Swedish bands who've always tried to copy what's happening in America or what's happening in the UK, I think the self-confidence in Sweden has grown during these past 10 years. So writing about Swedish politics is a good thing to tell your own story and to...
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what that is two of your... And he's looking at me like, what? It's two of your songs as the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.